Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for subscribing, following, and downloading this episode. Unarmored Talk presents another episode where we have real life conversations with people willing to remove their armor to help other people. This episode is sponsored by Robert and Miriam Norris, co-directors at USANA Health Sciences. And ladies and gentlemen, this is more than just a sponsorship. I mean, I have been using the Cell Essentials for about 2.5-3 weeks, and I've noticed a major difference. I was very reluctant. I'm just one of those type of people that's very reluctant to use some minerals and but they have made a difference. And I will, every episode that they sponsor, I will be able to give you guys some personal stories. If you'd like to connect with me personally, email me at host@unarmoredtalk.com. That's host@unarmoredtalk.com. And I can give you some personal testimony on it. If you want to learn more too, you can visit their website at takechargeyourhealth.usana.com. That's takechargeyourhealth.usana.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube channel at Sergeant Major Mario P. Field /YouTube, and continue to share with your friends and family, colleagues, and other folks, right? I appreciate everything you guys have been doing. And please continue to leave a rating and review. That just helps me get better and continue to produce content worth listening to or watching on the YouTube channel. Well, thank you again for tuning in, and let's get ready to listen to another amazing episode. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Unarmored Talk podcast, and I have another amazing guest today. Not only is he a district elder, not only is he a Marine veteran, but he's a doctor. Dr. Thomas Russell, welcome to Unarmored Talk podcast.
God bless you, Mario. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it and look forward to our conversation.
God bless you too, my friend. And Semper Fidelis.
Amen. Semper Fi.
So that's what I'm talking about. See, we can say that stuff. We understand. You can't say that in the regular world. What's yut? Thanks again for removing your armor to help others, and can't wait to jump into this topic and this journey. But can you tell the listeners and viewers just a little bit about yourself, doctor?
Well, I'm a senior pastor. My church is called Apostolic Grace Temple Church here in Phoenix, Arizona. Been pastoring for almost 25 years now. Wow. Even when I was in the Marine Corps in Okinawa, I had a church out that way. I'm a former educator. So I taught middle school and high school for quite a number of years, along with coaching various sports from track and field and basketball and everything. And so I'm kind of a homebody, man. You know, I'm married for the second time. I lost my wife of 23 years at age 43.
Wow.
When she passed away almost 14 years ago. But God is so good and gracious to me that he knew I just couldn't be by myself for too long. And I met a young lady, amen. And we were married like about 4.5 years later after my first wife passed. Coincidentally, she was widowed herself and was married 20 years, and her husband died at 42. So that's just the way God, he puts
that
people
that is interesting
together. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. So we just celebrated 9 years in May, and 5 children between the two of us, 3 biological sons, myself, and then her son and her daughter, which are now my kids. So we got 5 grown kids, and
amen.
I think nine, maybe almost 10 grandkids. I think one's in the oven. I lose count, Mario. So as long as they're not getting in my pocket, then I'm all right.
Yeah, that's definitely a tough challenge. Congratulations. And you know, you mentioned that you were a homebody, man. It sounds like to me you've dedicated your life to serving. So although your belief is that you're a homebody and kind of in the darkness, if you in a quiet spot, and I think your reach and what you've done through coaching and teaching, I mean, we know the challenges of educators. I know I do. I can't speak for everybody else, But so thank you so much for not just serving, you know, the United States of America in the Marines, but continued service throughout your life. And you're still serving, you know, so
still serving.
You're still serving. So I can't get into the topic without highlighting, you know, you to me, you're a man. I believe you're a man who has dedicated his life to service. And again, a silent prayer and thoughts to your first wife who's in heaven dancing, you know, dancing with God and the angels and then the Marines, Marines that are on duty.
Amen. You know it. The streets are guarded by United States
Marines, right? So they're dressed blues, baby. I'm telling you, man. So, yo, thanks. So let it's an armor talk. Let's jump right into the topic. You're a Marine veteran. From my basic understanding, doctor, you did about 14, 15 years, and then something happened. Talk to us about that.
Well, I was serving in Okinawa, Japan, pastoring my church right outside of Camp Foster's back gate, which was Bible Way Apostolic Church. And, you know, prior to me getting over to Okinawa, where things started to, I discovered some things. I was a hat. I was on the drill field in San Diego, towards the end of my tour, went to the range, and I was an expert shooter, Mario, at that time. Wow. You know, I had been one for a while. But when I got back to, when it was all said and done, I went unk. And people, that means I unqualified, for those who are listening. So I didn't qualify. And that was like not usual. And
that was probably devastating.
I was like, what in the world? You know, expert shooter to unk? I mean, that's not... Something had to happen drastically. And so, you know, the deal, you come back that afternoon. Now it's really hot down at Camp Pendleton and the heat tab is up and you're sweating. And I just concentrated even more on the 200 and 300 meter yard line. So when I got done, I was qualified. When I got back to the 500 meter yard line, I turned in my rounds because I couldn't see anything from there. In fact, they were yelling out my target number. Target 30, you shooting on target 45. I was shooting all over the place. Target 30, you shooting in the burn. That means for you all, I'm shooting in the dirt. So I knew something was going on with my vision, even on the drill field. Is when you go to take your platoon out for a drill, the drill master has four cards. You don't know which card you're going to select. And the colonel, the general, I mean, people are out there for your drill, for final drill. And as a senior drill instructor, you lead your platoon. Well, as a Marine, you know, everything is precision and precise. So you have to flip that card up. You know, everything is precise, but you have to hold it away from you. You can't put it to your face like this.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't see anything on those cards. So I had to memorize all four drill cards.
Oh, my goodness.
So that when whichever one I picked from the drill master, because they give you 5 minutes before you go out to review your card. So when I memorized all four cards, so then when each one I picked, I looked real quick, and I could say, okay, got it. I know what the movements were. And so basically I went out there, memorized the counts and the movements for my to do drill. Coincidentally, a brother won drill twice, you know, with his platoon. So came out on tops. But from there, Okinawa, and the vision just started getting worse and worse. And when got checked out, in fact, before I went to Okinawa, I went to the optometrist and said, something's going on while I was on the drill field. And I think I didn't know what kind of doctor was above an optometrist. And it was an ophthalmologist and retina specialist. And before you know it, I'm seeing people, and they got orders to Okinawa, Japan, and it continued on. And my vision continued to deteriorate while I was in Okinawa, Japan. And the doctor said, your left eye is gone. It's past, you know, the 20/70 marker. Well, and if the right, that's corrected. And if your right eye goes past 20/70 corrected, then we're going to pull your license off the island and you won't be able to drive. So needless to say, I tried to stay away from the doctors as I could because I knew it was going past that. Correct.
Hey, would you say, Dr. Russell, you're like, hey, I truly appreciate that information, doctor. I truly appreciate it. I'll see you in 4 more years for follow up.
And that's really how I got, you know, I don't want to say I got caught, but, yeah, you know, I'm doing my job and I'm doing well. I'm qualifying now on the range. They say muscle memory, you know, if you shoot that long, you know how to put it in the black. So I'm not an expert shooter anymore. I'm a marksman. My problem was, you know, I'm saluting Mario, you know, when you out the collar, if the sun hits the collar
right,
just the right way, even with chevrons on, it gives a glare, flash. So you think it's an officer. So I'm saluting PFCs and
honeys
and, like, you know, and then I'm not saluting sometimes the officers, you know. One time I, you know, didn't salute and it was a lieutenant colonel say, hey, staff sergeant, I don't get no salute. What's going on? Oh, sorry, sir. You know, I was in deep thought. Really, I just couldn't see him.
Sir, I was thinking about this upcoming 10-mile hike.
And then people got in my business, you know, and they discovered there's a Marine in the command that can't see very well. And
right
there, you know, the powers that be got in my business. And next thing I know, you know, the doctor from the Balboa were called up and everything. Well, it was Lester, Camp Lester on Okinawa. And hey, we haven't seen Staff Sergeant Russell. He's missed his last 3 appointments.
Right.
So eventually had to go and got the news that my vision had deteriorated. And they tried to put so many labels on it after going to Hickam Air Force Base and getting all kind of people, because I was like a little guinea pig. You know, macular degenerative eye disease is nothing. It's something not common in African-Americans. And being 28, 29, going through this process, they did not want to classify me as macular because it's commonly found in older white individuals, Caucasians, wow, not blacks. But make a long story short, I was finally diagnosed with Stargardt's disease, and no one knows where it comes from, how it happened. I in back of both of my eyes, it's scarring. So even with my glasses on, I'm 2300 with glasses on. So now with them off, I have them off now, so I'm even blinded now, but with them on, I'm 2300. I use my peripheral vision to get around to see those different type of things.
So here you are, you know, from the sounds of it, doctor, is really having an amazing journey. You know, roughly 5-6 years out from retirement eligibility. And for my listeners and viewers who have never served, you know, that you served 20 years of active duty time, and you received some sort of pension from the United States government for life, and, you know, until things occur, you pass away or whatever. But bottom line is, here you are essentially 4 or 5 years away from earning a lifetime pension, and then this occurs. So now you've got this diagnosis, you got the leader, right? The command leadership is aware and it's all unfamiliar. And so now what's next? Is it, hey, you can re-enlist and we're going to get you to the finish line?
You know, the unfortunate thing, and I know times have changed, we talked a little bit about that, I really felt as though at this particular time that I was being thrown underneath the bus. You know, my record was exemplary. The promotion zones had just came out for Gunny. So I knew that, you know, I was selected. And just knew I would be able to pin that on.
But, wow, so you were selected to gunnery sergeant?
Yes. Yes. I was. And I'll explain the back end of that, but they gave me 30 days, Mario. 30 days. So after everybody got in my business and everything came down, once they pulled my license from Okinawa, I'm staying on Camp Kinzer, but I'm working on Camp Foster. So it's a little bit of a drive. And they came down and said, okay, where do you want to go? We're sending you back to the States. I'm like, for what? I'm doing my job and everything. Well, you're being processed out. You're going to be processed out. You're going to be discharged. Is what I was told. You're going to be discharged. I said, am I going to be retired? Am I going to be discharged? They said, well, you're going to be discharged right now. And so it's like, got almost 15 years in. At that time, it was 14 years. I got three kids. I got a wife. I got a family. You know, you're giving me 30 days to get off the island. I have a church that I'm pastoring. I have people that I'm responsible for. So it was a whirlwind in 30 days. You know, I had two kids in school.
They came. Oh, my goodness.
You know, my second one, he didn't even get a chance to do his kindergarten promotion, you know, because 30 days, that's all they gave me. And I was off the island and attached down to the INI staff in Phoenix, Arizona. I said, I'll go back to Phoenix. That's where I'm from. So my in-laws and my parents are. So we're going to go back to Phoenix. Attached to the INI staff, and then from there, it was a wait. As far as I knew, you know, I was praying and hoping that they just wouldn't just discharge me with nothing.
Right.
And thank God, when I attached to the INI staff, there was a first sergeant. Forget his name. What a blessing. Could have been an angel in disguise. He probably was. And we talked. He said, well, I don't need another staff NCO here. I mean, I have enough. I don't really have anything for you to do. So I tell you what, go find a job. He said, because we don't know what's going to happen. Go find a job. Check in with me every week. Make sure you're alive. You ain't got to report in. You need to start getting things set up for your family just in case this thing goes sideways and they just discharge you. And that's what happened.
And what emotions? I mean, you got a church, you know, wife is settled in Okinawa, you know, children are doing great. You built a congregation outside of Camp Foster in Okinawa, which is not an easy thing to do. And lots of time and effort, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden now you have 30 days to leave Okinawa to go to an INI, you know, another unit in the United States to kind of figure out what we're going to do with Staff Sergeant. Gunny Select, by the way, Gunnery Sergeant Select. What emotions went through your body?
Mario, I think initially I was shocked. I was in awe, you know, and I just couldn't believe this was taking place. But then once you all your stuff gets packed up and you're back in the States and this is for real now. I was angry with the Marine Corps, but I think I was more so hurt. I was hurt because I was put in a position and it was out of my control. It was out of my control.
Right.
And I just didn't know what the fate of my career was going to be. I knew my career was over. How was I able to take care of my family? And that was the biggest thing. You know, you retired and we worked towards retirement. The benefits, the medical benefits, those different type of things that you're supposed to receive. And I was devastated, man. I was truly hurt. I went beyond shock and bitterness to just hurt and disbelief that I was going through this.
Yeah.
And then the wait, because when they sent me back in May of 1999, I got sent back in May of 1999. I didn't officially retire until April Fool's Day of 2000. That's almost a year. So from May of 1999, when I got back into the States, I had no clue and no idea what was going to occur for about 10 months. everything was a process. Everything was going through. There was nobody to call. There was nobody. It was just, you're just on hold. You're just on standby, you know? So you don't know if you're going to retire. You don't know if they're just going to boot you out. You don't know if you're going to get any kind of money. You don't know anything. You know, I did know that I put in my package for VA services and those different type of things, but I wanted to retire. I was deserving to retire, and I wanted to be pinned on my rocker for gunnery sergeant also. So during that 9-10 months, I tell people, yes, I'm a pastor. So if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, my family, you know, it was God who truly kept me in my mind, because it was just a roller coaster ride of emotions during that time.
Wow. You know, and here you are, in this state of mind where there's a lot of unknowns, and so what you did was turn all your efforts and energy towards your faith to build that optimism, you know, and level out those expectations. So how did you think through it? You know what I mean? 'Cause I'm pretty sure we don't have, I wish we had days to talk about this, because I know there's a component where your wife is probably stressing out.
Well, you know, I married the pastor's wife at that time. So I rest her soul. So she knew about having faith in
nice.
But here's the thing, Mario, some things are just, you know, you have a choice in life in whatever you do. And when we feel we don't have a choice, ultimately we do have a choice. We have a choice on how we're going to respond, how we're going to react, what we're going to do. If we're going to allow yourself to be bitter, be angry, fall into a state of depression, begin to take it out on your wife, begin to take it out on your kids, begin to take it out on people around you.
Right.
You know, you have that choice. And so, you know, my faith, my discipline as, as a Marine, you know, just the type of person I am, I've got to make this thing work. You know what they say, when handed lemons, you got to make lemonade. You know, and so I have to make this thing work somehow. Ain't no sense in crying about it. You know, there's a scripture in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse number 11, where the scripture says, I know the thoughts I have towards you, says the Lord. Right. Another translation says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. And so I had to believe that this was no surprise to God. It was a surprise to me and my family, but God had a plan, had a direction for me. And I had to believe that he knew what was best for me. Now, it's easier to say this 20 plus years down the road, but while you're going that, you got to constantly feed yourself. Just like you can feed yourself negative things all the time, you got to constantly feed yourself the good and the positive to know things are going to work out. It's going to get better. You know, you will be all right. Your family will be okay. You will continue to be successful. There's other things that you're going to be able to do, you know? So you got to constantly feed yourself positive things in order to activate your faith.
Yeah.
And that's what I did with my thinking.
Wow. And so now here it is, you know, April 1st of 2000.
April Fool's Day, Mario.
April Fool's Day. I know you're like, this is, y'all are joking. But it was official that you were retired with lifetime benefits.
They didn't let me. I put my, once I found out a few months ahead of time that they were going to retire me, first sergeant gave me the notice, say, it looks like they're going to retire you.
Yeah.
I said, great. I said, but I'm my number is coming up, you know, and everything. So, and I should be in the next wave here in the next couple of months to be promoted to gunner. So I requested to be retired in either on July 1st or August 1st instead of April 1st. Then that would have gave me that time to pin on gunner. And what did they do? They disregarded that and retired me 2 months really before I was going to pin on my gun.
Oh my goodness.
You know, so my ID card says staff sergeant, everything says staff sergeant, but you know, that was 15 years now, you know, and, you know, by all rights, you know, you know, the deal. You don't start acting the rank when you put it on. You're already right. The rank before you put it on. Right. And I've been a staff sergeant, I think, for 5 or 6 years or something like that. I forget.
And look now, speed it up 22 years later, a district elder, pastor, and a doctor. I don't know how, I don't know any rank that can align with that, including the rank of whichever you want to pick from any branch of service, my friend.
God is good.
And I like how you mentioned the choice. You know, you chose to not take your frustrations out on your wife or the Marine Corps, for that matter. It's an organization, or the people in the Marine Corps. You chose to keep a positive mindset and to continue this to pray and to say, you know what, there's a reason why I'm going through this. God knows, and maybe it'll be revealed to me years later. And here we are, roughly 22 years later.
God never does anything for no reason.
Yeah.
You have to understand, things just don't happen in your life for no reason. There's a purpose and there's a plan that God has. Now, it may not be our plan. It may not be what we want.
Right.
But ultimately, when we submit and humble ourselves to what God's will is for us in our lives, you know,
right.
There was a reason why I needed to be out the Marine Corps to be here. And I must say that being retired, and then collecting my VA compensation, it afforded me the opportunity to be in my, and I put that thing on, do not disturb.
Oh, it's unarmored talk. I mean, we're in the middle of a major storm, so I don't even know if the mic's picking up, so we're good.
You know, so I should have cut it off, these solicitors, but
it's all good.
The thing about it is God knows what he has in store for you. And it gave me an opportunity to really be there for my family. I didn't have to work per se a 9-to-5.
Right.
Now that I had the compensation coming in, the medical benefits, that's when I went and you know, I didn't even have a degree when I got out, Mario. You know how it is in the Marine Corps. I had 2 years of a degree. It took me 10 years of the Marine Corps to get 2 years of, you know, college education. So I went back to school and got my degree in business, got my master's in education, ultimately got my doctorate in ministry. I became an educator. So I was at my boy's school.
Right.
Them, you know, was a teacher right there on the campus. And that was just a blessing, and to be able to have that, you know,
yeah,
lifestyle, and be integral in my son's lives and raising three black boys in whatever state you're in. It's always a challenge, as we see in 2022, challenges are still here.
Right.
But it was a blessing. And so in the end, God has blessed me, you know, to be this senior pastor, have a wonderful congregation. My first wife passed away, but blessed me with a new wife and, you know, sons are doing well. Coincidentally, one is a Marine sergeant in the reserves.
Nice.
The other one just pinned on captain, and he's a Marine captain in the reserves.
Wow.
Also. So, and yeah, my son-in-law's he's an active duty. We won't talk too much about him, but he's active duty Army. Teaching up at Wake Forest right now. He was at Fort Bragg.
So. Yeah, we'll keep that quiet.
Yeah, no. So, you know, I give him his little due, but you know, he's you know.
Yeah. That's, you know, and ladies and gentlemen, you guys heard it from Dr. Russell. I mean, you know, finding opportunities in moments of crisis. I mean, here he is living one of his dreams, you know, moving up in the ranks, Gunnery Sergeant Select. And then things out of his control happens where now he's retired as a staff sergeant. And then 22 years later, let me, you guys heard the accomplishments. You know, God has blessed him with amazing, you know, accomplishments. Truly appreciate you. If you could leave the listeners and viewers with one piece of advice today, what would it be, Doctor?
I'm glad you asked me that question because it just came into my mind, and I preached a message of, about a month or so on this. And the title of the message was Adversity Brings About Opportunities.
Nice.
Adversity brings about opportunities. And so when adversity hits your life in any kind of way, whether it's death, whether it's a loss of job, whether it's sickness, whether it's divorce, whatever it is, you have to look around because that adversity is going to bring about an opportunity to for new beginnings, an opportunity to acknowledge the God that you may be serving in your life, an opportunity, amen, to reflect on, you know, the path and direction that you are going, and maybe there's a different way that you need to go. So adversity brings about opportunities. So seize those opportunities, welcome those opportunities. We're human, so you're going to be mad, frustrated, angry. You may cry. That's all a part of the process. That's not, we're human. We're not robots. But once you wipe your tears and once you shake yourself, there's some opportunities for you in the midst of whatever adversity that you're going through.
No, thank you so much, my friend. Thank you for blessing this platform. Truly appreciate you. What an amazing story. I mean, you just inspired me. I think I'm going to run outside and tell the storm to stop.
That's what Jesus said. He commanded us to stop. Go ahead, Mario. Be still.
Hey, but if I don't make it back in, I hope I lived a good life.
I'm sure you have. Listen, Mario, for your listeners that are out there, listen, like I said, if you know, they can catch me, amen, Apostolic Grace Temple Church. They can go to Apostolic.
Nice.
Well, my website is gracetempleaz.org, gracetempleaz.org. And I'm on Facebook with Bible studies and Sunday morning lessons and everything. And you can find that me on Facebook at Grace Temple AZ, nice. Grace Temple Church AZ. You'll find me. Amen.
Amen. And thanks. And I'll make sure too, I'll put that in the intro and audio as well, so they have the links. And it will also be in the narrative in the remarks section, ladies and gentlemen. That way you guys can click on that and we can follow Dr. Thomas Wright, Thomas Russell, and continue to support what he's doing. And one last thing, Doctor, how can people learn more about your disorder, the disease you have, and maybe gain a better understanding and how to support maybe research in that area?
You know, my disease was Stargardt's disease, and you can Google that information up.
Got it.
To find out about that disease. But if there's any veterans that you might know that are dealing with any kind of vision problems, a lot of veterans don't know that you don't have to be service connected. If you start having some vision problems as a veteran, you are able to go to the VA and they will assist you and help you out.
Nice.
There's a blind center in Tucson that people come to nationally. And if you get too severe, that blind center will teach you different things. You know, they will give you the necessary, like the CCTV behind me and
right.
iPhone, and they'll give you the different things that you need to be able to accomplish whether you're still working or not working. And so any veteran that you might know, make sure that you let them know that the VA does take care of their people.
Nice. No, thanks so much. Truly appreciate you coming on Unarmored Talk podcast, my friend. God bless you and your family, your congregation, and we will see you later, my friend.
God bless you. Thank you so much, Mario, for having me. God bless you.
No worries. Thank you, too. Be safe.
You too.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for listening to another episode. Again, email me at host@unarmoredtalk.com. If you want to speak more on the self-essentials I'm taking from our sponsors, Robert and Miriam Norris, co-directors at USANA Health Sciences, and you can check out their website at takechargeyourhealth.usana.com. Till next time, I'll see you guys later. God bless.